You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has finally delivered on a long-talked-about policy, a major crackdown on truancy in schools. Associate Education Minister David Seymour announced a three-part STAR plan to be put in place by the beginning of the 2026 school year. There are various consequences for students absent between 5 and 10 days, but for students absent for 15 days, parents may be fined and prosecuted. Many schools and teachers have taken issue with the policy, saying everyone wants their child at school, but the root of the issue can often be much deeper. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about the crackdown and why the government believes it's going to be effective. We also talked about public submissions on the oil and gas ban reversal bill, which are open for only 4 business days, considerably shorter than submission time for most bills. But first, I asked him about this new truancy plan.
The power to prosecute parents has been in the ministry's hands for some time now, but it isn't often used, as many teachers and schools don't find it to be effective. Why do you think this move will change things?
Well, the basic premise of the policy that David Seymour announced is that no child is left behind and they do attend school regularly so they can learn. What this new system intends to do is set out the role for every student, parent, teacher and school to play. And each school is going to have to develop their own system to suit their community and school based on the options and types of essentially controls and escalations that are available under the new scheme. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It will be mandatory to have an attendance management plan, but it's going to be up to the school to tailor it to the needs of the children and their community.
Many teachers say that the root of the issue when it comes to truancy is a lot deeper with issues at home, and they don't think that in those situations prosecution is the right course of action to take. What about a way to get kids to school? Parents who can't afford to send their kids to school, how will a fine incentivize them to get their kids to school?
Well, I think the point of the system is not so that parents end up being fined. That is clearly an option that should be available where parents are not fulfilling their role and obligation to do everything they can to get their child to school. And that's not to say that individual families won't have really tough situations. And that's why the system, the STAR system, is intended to provide options for schools, not lead automatically to parents being sanctioned and then potentially facing charges. I'll just give you an example about how sometimes parents do need help, and that's what the system's designed to encourage. A police youth aid officer told David Seymour recently that he has a collection of PlayStations and Xboxes at the station. Not that he's confiscated from kids who are truant, but that the parents asked, please will you take them, because we don't feel we have the power or authority even in our own family home, given the power and influence that these devices are having on our young people who are staying up all night playing games and then are not able to get up for school in the morning. And it sounds pretty drastic, you know, asking the police to come round and confiscate your kid's PlayStation. But that's literally the situation some parents and families are in. What the system that Associate Education Minister David Seymour is proposing is to provide a range of controls and a range of options for schools and parents on the basis that if you're enrolled in school, you have to go. It's good for you. Your education's important to your lifelong outcomes. And if you don't go, there's going to be consequences, because we can't afford to have an uneducated population where we need so many skilled people to fulfil all the roles that a modern society needs.
What options has the government looked at developing for addressing the root of the issue? Families who are struggling to get their kids to school because of their own financial situations.
If there are families that are struggling financially, the government has a range of programs, including targeted assistance, whether it's accommodation support, all kinds of transfer payments available, working for families. Families should have access, if they seek it, to financial support. This is something quite different, though, which is if you want your children to have a good future, then making sure that they get to bed early, get up early in the morning, have breakfast before school, and get to school on time, and don't be truant, no matter what circumstances a family are in any given week, making sure your child attends school is the one thing that's going to make a difference in their lives and their future. And so we just want to make it clear to parents, to families, to students, go to school because it's the one thing that's going to make your life better.
When implementing this new STAR system, you said that it's going to be dependent on each school and their situation. How do you expect schools to implement this and do more than they're already doing without any additional resourcing?
Well, schools are already supported by the truancy service, which has about 300 staff nationwide. But on any given day, potentially 60,000 to 80,000 students are not in school. So clearly 300 staff from the truancy service are not going to be able to find all of those students and bring them to school or get them to school or help their families get into school. And that's why the STAR system, which is the Stepped Attendance Response System, actually provides for a number of interventions that the school can take with parents, with students, and it's not intended to be fully implemented until January or first day of term 2026. So it actually gives the schools time to work out their plan and to work out what is an appropriate proportionate response, so that young people who are not in school regularly are encouraged to return to the classroom.
Public submissions opened last week on the gas and oil exploration bill, but they closed tomorrow at midnight, giving the public only 4 days to submit. Why such a small amount of time?
Well, it's really important that we reverse the ban on oil and gas exploration this year in 2024, which will give businesses that we want to invest in more oil and gas exploration confidence to get on with it, because this winter, the winter that we're just coming out of now, we had such severe gas shortages that major export businesses like Methanex had to shut down production. We've also had very significant spikes in electricity prices, which have led to some businesses like Winstone Pulp International being unable to get electricity and energy supply contracts because they use a lot of gas as well at a reasonable price. And those businesses are closed and hundreds of people are now unemployed as a result. So it's really important that we pass this legislation as quickly as possible and restore the status quo to what it was in 2018, where I think former Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and her Energy Minister Megan Woods announced that they would be banning oil and gas exploration at an event at Victoria University without consulting anyone or giving anyone an opportunity to maybe suggest why it wasn't such a good idea. So the coalition government, ACT and National and New Zealand First all campaigned on removing the ban on oil and gas exploration. ACT also campaigned on restoring the Crown Minerals Act's purpose to promoting the use of Crown Minerals. It actually means let's get those critical minerals out of the ground that are absolutely vital for all the things we use and consume, whether it's cell phones or medical technology, for example. So that's going to happen. And if people want to get their submissions in, they've got till 11:59 p.m. tomorrow to do it.
Some people are concerned that there won't be enough time for the public to aptly have their say. It's a lot less time than most submissions on other bills. Was there no way of stretching it out at all?
Well, we're just running out of time in terms of this year's legislative program. And there's not that many sitting weeks left between now and Christmas. And so it's really important that we get this closed off and the Select Committee reports back to Parliament at the end of October. It doesn't sound like a lot of time, 4 days, but you know what? We've had between 2018 and 2024, that's 6 years to consider the implication of the previous Labor government's radical and unsupported by evidence decision to ban oil and gas exploration. So in 6 years, we've seen what damage has done. I think Kiwis were consulted at the last election. They made up their mind to change the government. And we all parties campaigned on restoring oil and gas exploration as something we need to do for New Zealand. And so, if New Zealanders want to have their say, they can get a submission in. But I think it would be fair to say that the evidence is in. We need to we're interested in the ability to explore for oil and gas.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Corr on the government crackdown on truancy and public submissions to the oil and gas ban reversal bill.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.